Chapter 14.
Are you certain, Zisalmu said, that you know exactly what you're supposed to do?
Arulani drew in a deep breath, pulling with it every bit of patience her mind and body could muster.
Yes, Syndic, she said. I think we've been over it enough times.
Because I'm serious,
he went on, as if he hadn't heard her, or more likely didn't believe her.
If either the Garwians or the Vex refuse to give him up, or deny knowing anything about him, we turn the ship around and go home.
I understand, Arulani said.
Which wasn't to say that she agreed with him, or that she had any intention of following such a ridiculous order. Defying an aristocrat syndic could mean the end of her career, of course. But she'd put her career on the line so many times before that it was almost becoming routine. What wasn't routine was why Zisalmu and Thurfian both seemed so single-mindedly determined to destroy Thrawn. She'd been mulling over that question since their departure from the Ascendancy, and she was no closer to figuring it out now than she had been then. Maybe it was time she did something about that. She looked over at the navigator station. Chiri was sitting there, her breathing slow and steady, deep in third sight as she guided them toward Primea. Standing beside her was Zisalmu's wife, who'd never offered Arulani her proper name, but had instead insisted that everyone aboard call her Nana. A rather annoying affectation, in Arulani's opinion. Possibly why the woman had only lasted 2 years as a caregiver. But right now, all that mattered was that for the next minute, neither she nor anyone else was in position to listen in.
A question, Syndic, Arulani said, as Zisalmu started to turn away. For my own curiosity.
Yes?
She turned her full gaze on him.
Why do you and Syndic Thurfian hate Thrawn so much?
She'd expected some kind of reaction from him. To her surprise, his expression didn't even twitch.
About time, he said calmly. I've been expecting you to bring up that topic since we left Sheela.
Sorry, I've had other things on my mind, Arulani said. May I have an answer?
First, ask the correct question,
Zisalmu said.
We don't hate Thrawn. Actually, we both admire his military skill. We resist him because he's a threat to the Ascendancy.
To the Ascendancy? Arulani countered. Or to the Irisi family?
Zisalmu shook his head.
You really don't see it, do you? In that case, there's really no point in continuing this conversation.
Excuse me, Syndic, but there's every reason to continue, Arulani said. You're aboard the Vigilant, under my authority, and you're obligated to answer any reasonable question and obey any reasonable order. Unless you plan to invoke official Syndicure secrets. And I will follow through on that if you try it. You tell me how Thrawn is a threat to the Ascendancy.
Octrimo called a warning from the helm.
Break out in 30 seconds, Admiral.
Acknowledged.
Arulani raised her eyebrows towards Zisalmu. Talk fast.
There's no time for a proper explanation,
the Syndic said.
But really, you don't need one. You've seen enough of Thrawn and his career to understand. If you don't, it's because you choose not to.
Arulani shook her head. Not good enough.
It's all you're going to get.
Zisalmu nodded toward the viewport.
And we are here.
Arulani turned to see the hyperspace swirl collapse into star flares and then into stars. Looming directly ahead was a half-lit planet with dozens of ships of all sizes moving in or out, or simply drifting steadily along in their orbits.
Primea, Admiral,
Octremo announced.
I read 47 visible ships,
Senior Commander Biglion added from the sensor station.
Checking configurations for anything that looks Garwin.
Acknowledged,
Arulani said.
Senior Captain Wutraor, a signal to the Planetary Diplomatic Office. Identify us and tell them we are trying to reach Artistic Master Sforno.
Yes, Admiral,
Wutraor said. She leaned over the comms officer's shoulder and began speaking quietly.
I'm not picking up anything that looks like a Garwian,
Biglion reported.
Maybe it's on the other side of the planet. Admiral, Primea Central Command acknowledges,
Wutraor relayed.
They claim the Garwian diplomatic ship left 3 days ago, with all personnel aboard.
There you go,
Sistalmu said briskly.
Looks like Thrawn managed to extricate himself without any fuss or drama. Now if we can say our farewells and head back to the Ascendancy,
Captain, please ask for clarification,
Arulani ordered.
I want a list of all the personnel on that ship. I also want copies of all transmissions to and from the Garwian before it left.
What makes you think they'll have all that available?
Sistalmu demanded.
Or we'll give it to you if they do.
Captain,
Arulani prompted.
Message delivered,
Wutraor confirmed.
Waiting for a reply.
We've got movement,
Biglion cut in.
5 small ships breaking orbit toward us, and another 8 patrol ships rising from the surface. Make that 9 from the surface.
Patrol ships?
Sistalmu asked, clearly confused.
What are they doing?
You should read the Defense Force's after-action reports more closely, Syndic,
Arulani said, eyeing the small ships assembling between the Vigilant and the planet below.
Small fighters are a line in the dirt. A warning that the defenders are serious.
Yes, I understand that part,
Sistalmu growled.
I'm wondering why they think 14 fighters constitutes any kind of threat. Do they expect them to scare us away?
Of course not, Arulani said. But a couple of wings of fighters isn't as provocative as a group of full-class warships would be.
That makes it easier for both sides to back down if neither really wants a fight. And if the intruder does want one, it's not so much of a loss to the defenders if the fighters get blown out of the sky.
But we're not going to do that, are we?
Sistalmu asked, his voice dark and ominous.
Not unless we're attacked first,
Arulani said.
Captain, any word on my request?
Central Command says they don't have that information,
Wutraor reported.
They say they have to refer me to the diplomatic service.
I trust they're doing so?
So they say,
Wutraor pointed at the tactical.
Looks like they're working into a lens formation.
Arulani nodded. Or at least 13 of the patrol ships were. The 14th was moving forward, ignoring his companion's more cautious stance.
Octremo, that fighter on the extreme starboard seems to be spoiling for a fight,
she said.
Start drifting us toward him. Nice and easy. Don't make it too obvious.
You think it's him?
Wutraor asked.
Fear no, in a minute,
Arulani said, checking the distance. The patrol ship was almost in range now. Another few seconds. Abruptly, a double flare of laser fire blasted from the fighter squarely at the Vigilant.
Hit! On starboard ventral weapons cluster,
Biglion reported tersely.
Low power blast. No damage.
Acknowledged,
Arulani said. Sistalmu inhaled sharply.
What are they doing? I thought you said they weren't trying to be provocative.
Targeting sensors have kicked into rapid record mode,
Wutraor called.
Modulated laser fire coming in,
Biglion began.
Thank you, Senior Commander,
Arulani cut him off. She'd known what Thrawn was planning as soon as he opened fire on the sensor cluster, and had hoped she could slide it past Istalmu without him noticing. No such luck.
Modulated how?
The Syndic asked.
Admiral? The laser is modulated how?
I'm not sure yet, Syndic.
Arulani hedged.
We'll have to see what the computer makes of it.
Let me guess,
Zistalmu said, eyes narrowed with suspicion.
That's Thrawn, isn't it? And somehow he's adapted the fighter's laser to transmit a message. Isn't that it?
Arulani mouthed a silent curse. So much for keeping the Syndic in the dark long enough to bring Thrawn aboard. So much, too, for keeping Thrawn's favored method for surreptitious communication secret. Up to now, only she and Thrawn had known how he'd managed his communication with the Garweans during the Leo Aeoan pirate attack on Stivik all those years ago. He'd obviously planned in advance to pull the same trick here, knowing that Arulani would recognize it and be able to extract the message. What he couldn't have anticipated was Istalmu inviting himself onto the mission. The question of Thrawn's possible interference in that particular incident had long since been forgotten. But all it would take was Istalmu putting the pieces together to drag it back into the light. And with Istalmu and Thurfian both out for Thrawn's blood, that could be a serious problem. Right now, Arulani had more pressing matters to deal with. Two of the Vak patrol ships had broken out of their lens formation and were pursuing Thrawn's ship. So far, they hadn't fired, but someone had clearly figured out that the rogue fighter had been commandeered and was hoping to stop it. Meanwhile, off to portside, two much larger Vak warships had come into view around the planetary rim, moving steadily toward the Vigilant. And then, around the planetary rim to starboard, a much larger ship had appeared. A Nicardoon warship.
Vec warships moving toward portside flank, Utra'o called. Close combat distance in 2.3 minutes. Patrol ships moving up a defensive lens. Combat distance 90 seconds.
Picture coming through, Vicleon reported. On sensor 2.
Arulani looked at the specified display. The data Thrawn was sending seemed to be a schematic of one of the Vak patrol ships. She smiled tightly. A schematic, moreover, with all the weapons and targeting sensor systems marked. Everything she would need to take all the fight out of them without loss of life or serious damage to the ships themselves.
Prepare lasers, she ordered. Target patrol ships, weapon sensors. Target very carefully. I don't want any additional damage.
Just a moment! Zistalmu cut in. Are you mad? You can't launch an unprovoked attack!
It's not unprovoked, Utra'o said. One of them fired on us, remember?
That was Thrawn.
So you've suggested, Arulani said evenly. Until that's been confirmed, we operate on the assumption that the Vax have attacked us. Captain Utra'o, pick three of the patrol ships and fire.
Belay that order! Zistalmu snapped. I forbid any action. You will prepare to withdraw.
Incoming! Bicleon snapped. Four heavy cruisers coming in from hyperspace behind us.
Acknowledged,
Arulani said, feeling a sudden sense of unreality as she gazed at the display. They were heavy cruisers, all right, arrayed in a diamond combat formation. Only they weren't Vak ships, or even Nicardoon. They were Leo Aeoan.
Yaw, turn 180, she ordered. Standby lasers and spheres are new targets.
Leo Aeoan flagship is signaling, Admiral,
the comm officer called. She touched a switch.
To intruder.
A Leo Aeoan voice came over the speaker. It's Minisiat clear and precise.
You are threatening the peace and safety of the Vak Combine. leave immediately or be fired upon.
Admiral,
Zisalmu began. Quiet! Aralani cut him off as she tapped her comm switch.
This is Admiral Aralani aboard the Chiss Expansionary Defense Fleet ship Vigilant, she said. We mean no harm to Primea or the Combine. One of our people has gone missing, and we're here to inquire about his whereabouts.
The words were barely out of her mouth when all four Leo AOI ships opened fire.
Beary is up,
Utra Obart.
Target enemy lasers. Prepare spheres,
Aralani added, her brain spinning as she tried to figure out what in the hell was going on. What were Leo AOI even doing here at Primea, let alone attacking a Chiss warship on sight? And then, suddenly she got it. Damn the Nicardoon, anyway.
Spheres! Fire when ready, she bent out. Target all Leo AOI ships. Concentrate on weapons clusters. Enemy lasers impacting on the hull!
Utra-O reported, her voice tight but controlled.
Barriers diffusing about 80%. Spheres on their way.
Aralani nodded. Enough plasmasphere impacts, enough ion bursts eating into the electronics, and the attacker's ability to continue fighting would be neutralized. But it would take half a dozen shots to sufficiently disable any one of the ships. And there were four of them for her to deal with. And the Vigilant had only a limited number of spheres available. Unless...
Continue targeting weapons,
she ordered, searching the displays. Thrawn's patrol ship. There it was, coming up fast. The two VAC fighters that had been in pursuit, she noted, were falling back. Apparently, they didn't want him badly enough to charge into a combat zone. Perfect.
Octremo, what's our best course out of here?
She called.
Wait!
Zistalmu protested.
Now, when we're actually attacked, now you want to run?
Shut it!
Aralani said.
Octremo?
Pistix's route is port side,
Octremo reported.
But that vector will take us into close combat range with both 3 and 4.
The Leo Aeon ship designated as 4, Aralani noted, being the one farthest to port side. Time to gamble.
Concentrate sphere fire on 3, she said. Octremo, take us out on your vector.
On 3?
Zistalmu put in.
But 4's closer!
If I have to tell you again to be quiet, I'll have you removed from the bridge,
Aralani warned. Zistalmu sputtered something, but fell silent. The laser fire from the 4 Leo Aeon ships was increasing as the Vigilant headed toward the open space to the Leo Aeon formation's left. Attackers 3 and 4 began moving sideways to block the Chiss escape, though 3's efforts were now being slowed by the cascade of plasmaspheres hammering into its hull. But with the flanking fire from 1 and 2 continuing to blast away at the Vigilant's starboard hull, even just a single Leo Aeon in front of the Vigilant would make escape problematic. Presumably, the Leo Aeoi and their Nicardoon masters knew that and were counting on it. Unfortunately for them, they'd all forgotten about Thrawn. The back patrol ship shot past the Vigilant on full power, ducking through the scattered laser fire from the Leo Aeon ships, charging straight toward Attacker 4 with lasers blazing. Aralani held her breath, waiting for the Leo Aeon to respond, wondering if she and Thrawn had read the situation correctly. They had. For those first crucial seconds, the Leo Aeon didn't return fire, having apparently been ordered to shoot at the Chiss warship, but avoid combat with Nicardoon and the local VAC forces. She could envision the frantic calls from the Leo Aeoi to Primea, the questions running up the chain of command, transferring over to the Nicardoon warship, the furious corrections coming from the general in charge, possibly heading directly to the Leo Aeoi, possibly having to go the reverse path so as not to give the Chiss confirmation that the Nicardoon were even involved. And as the farce finally played itself out, the Leo Aeoan ships belatedly opened fire. But it was too late. Thrawn's surgical attack had already destroyed Four's combat ability, tearing into the ship's heavy laser sights and blinding their missile fire control sensors. For a moment, the other three Leo AOI continued to fire. But as the Vigilant drove through Four's shadow, their weapons went silent, lest they hit their comrade. Thrawn's fighter finished its run and turned toward the Vigilant, and jerked suddenly as a final laser shot sliced across its aft thrusters.
"Hit on patrol ship!"
Utra-O snapped.
"Tractor beam,"
Aralani snapped back.
"Bring him in."
"On it,"
Utra-O confirmed.
"Tractor engaged. Locked. Bringing him in."
"Starboard spheres. One final volley," Aralani ordered. "Keep them back."
"Vank warships moving up,"
Bicklion warned. But it was a waste of effort, and everyone knew it. The Vigilant would be far enough out of Primea's gravity well in 20 seconds, and would have Thrawn aboard in 30. The only ships close enough to stop them were the Leo Aeoan cruisers. And thanks to her and Thrawn's combined attack, they too were out of luck.
"Skywalker Chiri, get ready," she called.
"She's ready,"
Zistalmu's wife said. Aralani scowled.
"Skywalker Chiri,"
she asked pointedly.
"I'm ready, Admiral,"
the girl's voice came back. Her confirmation was quieter and maybe a little more tentative than Nana's, but it confirmed to Aralani that Chiri was indeed ready. Aralani had had other caregivers insist on speaking for their young charges instead of letting them speak for themselves. She'd never liked it then either.
"Good," she said. "As soon as we confirm Captain Thrawn's aboard, we'll go. Captain Utra-O?"
"Almost there,"
Utra-O said. There was a small clunking sound as the shrapnel from a pair of disintegrated Leo Aeoan missiles bounced off the Vigilant's hull near the viewport. One final desperate, useless attack.
"Aboard,"
Utra-O confirmed.
"Crash webbing's deployed. Confirmed capture. Outer hatch closing. Outer hatch sealed."
"All right, Chiri. We've got him," Aralani said.
A long road, with a blaze of fire and noise at the end of it. She could only hope Thrawn had found everything he'd come here for.
"Take us home,"